Home cooking is good for you.
Home cooking is indeed good for you. And we are now going into our kitchen table talk section of this public affair. It's every first Thursday of the month. And I'm here with John Lindorf, Chef Daniel Asher, and their special guests. Good morning, John. Take us away.
Good morning, Shannon, and welcome everybody to Kitchen Table Talk. We've been doing this for about a year on the first Thursday of every month, and I love it because it's an extended format. We have an hour, and we welcome your phone calls. We have to ask questions of our guests about food issues or how to cook something, and so we'll talk about that in a minute. My co-host is Chef Dan Asher of River and Woods in Ashkara and various and sundry other culinary activities. Morning, Dan.
Good morning, John. Good morning, everyone. Thanks for tuning in for another fabulous gathering of community, food, and love.
And would you like to introduce our special guests?
Yes, I would love to. Phenomenal vibes in the studio this morning, so thanks for joining us. Rainbow Schultz, proprietor, chef, owner of the Merck, amazing, legendary, magnificent culinary powerhouse, live music venue, community gathering space up in the remarkable enclave of Jamestown. And Liz Thomas, markets manager, Boulder Farmers Market. And we just met at the soil event at Yellow Barn Farm, and it was a phenomenal evening and a great connection. Good morning, and thanks for joining us.
Wow, thanks for having us. That was a really nice introduction. Thanks, Danielle.
Well deserved.
So glad to be here.
How's your mornings going?
Really good. I am physically exhausted, but my soul is full after the first Boulder Wednesday market last night.
That's right. How'd it go?
It was so good. Yeah, it didn't rain. It always rains on Wednesdays.
That's so funny.
Good, gorgeous weather, really good turnout.
And, you know, there may actually be people listening who have always gone on Saturday and are unfamiliar about the difference between the Wednesday and Saturday Boulder Farmers Market. I mean, to me, the Wednesday is it's definitely a smaller, more intimate and social gathering in the evening, and it's a different vibe.
Totally, yeah. Yeah, the evening vibe has its own, it brings its own kind of energy about it. It's not the crazy crowds of Saturday either, which we have a lot of regulars that prefer that. You can usually find parking.
Yes.
People are coming for dinner.
It's not
too.
So crazy.
Yes, yeah. Not so crazy. There's a beer garden as well, which is fun. You can come for dinner, have a beer, listen to some music, meet some different kinds of vendors. We can often get new vendors in on Wednesdays too. So.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
And so talk a little bit. So are there vendors that are only there Wednesday?
Yeah. There's a couple. Let's see. We have a couple new farmers there just Wednesdays. Offbeat Farms, which I brought some of their greens mix for us to taste. A new meat vendor. They're doing everything. Lamb, goat, pig, beef, chicken,
and
fowl as well.
They?
Yeah, Golden Hollow.
Golden Hollow?
Out of Berthoud.
And jeez. Goat.
Yeah.
Birria, here we come. Right.
It's the first night for asparagus last night, everyone.
Oh, my gosh. Is that Kiowa Valley?
Yeah, they're back.
Oh, it's so good.
I know. It was quite the rejoice.
All right. That's going to be on the menu at River and Woods. Yeah, that's great.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah.
I got to talk to them.
Yeah, full food court, too. Some different food court vendors. We've got Momo House, Tostadas food truck.
And a very good barbecue place.
Yeah, the barbecue's awesome.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Rangtang Barbecue. Mm-hmm.
Really?
He's sourcing everything locally. He's really committed to that.
Rangtang?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
Using local meats, and that makes me very happy.
Totally.
That is awesome.
To support the ranchers.
Yeah, he's Saturday and Wednesdays.
Mm. Good to know.
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome.
We can't wait to check it out.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah.
So, Sunshine.
Rainbow.
Rainbow, I'm sorry.
It happens a lot.
My apologies. We were talking earlier about it was a certain era of naming. And anyway, tell me a little bit about what's new at the Merck in Jamestown.
Well, we've had a pretty fun winter, and we're getting ready to move back outside into the park in June. So one more month and we'll start having music outside Fridays and Sundays again. So awesome.
right outside the Merc or over in the park?
Right across the street from the Merc.
That's awesome.
So people can grab their dinner, go over to the park, find a spot, bring a picnic blanket, and then we have music out there. If it's warm enough, you know, you can bring your bathing suit and swim and meet your neighbors, your friends coming up from Boulder. Mm-hmm. Dogs, babies, all that stuff. It's great.
It's
I'm
amazing.
Just kind of guessing the water in the creek is a little cold right now.
But that's how we like it.
Well said. It's invigorating.
That's right.
Anything new and cool on the menu?
You know, we switch it up every single night, so there's always something new on the menu. We just, myself and Chef Mark, who designs the menus on Thursdays, just come up every weekend with what we want to eat the following week and see what's available, what we're inspired by, and then come up with something new that week.
Chicken schnitzel this week,
that's
right?
Tonight.
That's tonight.
Yeah.
And then every taco.
Yes.
Every kind of taco.
Cinco de Marco.
Yeah,
it's a big holiday for us.
Yes.
We consider the spicy margarita to be our spirit animal. So we are...
Yes.
We're going to have a bunch of different margs and tacos tomorrow and a Beatles cover band that's all local from Jamestown.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah, so it'll be really fun.
All right,
rain or shine.
Rain or shine. Be there. The Merc is an extraordinary gathering space.
And you are listening to Kitchen Table Talk on KGNU. We'll be here until 9:30 talking about local food, how to cook it, and... local food-related issues. If you'd like to call in and talk to us, please call 303-442-4242, and we'll get you on the air. So,
yeah, good damn. Stuff.
What's new in the vegetable world in your restaurant?
Well, we've got I brought some samples of our market salad that everyone can enjoy, and this is kind of a great way to highlight seasonality. We always are eager to get the fruit in from the western slope whenever the stone fruit starts hitting, which gets featured right away in the salad. Here, let me pass these out.
So what have we got?
Beets, wonderful spring mix. There's Jumpin' Good goat cheese out of Buena Vista. Until we get some local fruit, then in the fall we get into apples and pears, which is amazing. And oh yeah, let me pass these guys out.
So are these are the croutons the chickpea?
Yes, exactly. Yeah, it's a play on panisse. If you
are, they panisse are this wonderful. It's like a chickpea.
Fritter,
really. Mm. It's you put it in a pan, right, and then like polenta, and then you cut it and fry it or whatever.
We put a little bit of stone ground mustard and some fresh herbs.
It's delicious.
Panisse. If you're hanging out in France, if you wander over to Italy, it'd be called panelle. Mm. So similar philosophy and concept, similar ingredient base. So we're using those to do croutons. So they end up gluten-free, they're high-protein.
Is it hard to make?
Organic chickpea flour. What was it?
Is it hard to make?
No.
It's like making falafel, right?
Yeah, extremely simple. Yeah. I think people are intimidated by chickpea flour, but it's an amazing legume to utilize. And they're super healthy, vibrant, tons of nutrients. You can get them sourced regeneratively. There's Timeless Farms that does amazing work.
Well, you can even buy falafel mix.
Yes.
And instead of trying to form it into balls and do the whole that or patties and do that fried falafel thing, you can just put it into a small sheet pan or something.
Yeah, and bake it.
And bake it and then cut it up and then you can bake it
do
again to crisp
cakes,
it up.
Little slices. Yeah,
but
exactly.
It's wonderful. Well, it can be vegan.
Yes. Usually should be vegan. Yeah.
Unless you fry it in like tallow or something. Yeah.
Then it won't be. This is true. Frying in tallow would make it not vegan. But if you're getting your tallow from a local ranch, and that's a byproduct of the process of utilizing animal protein, that's a wonderful thing to use.
Well, you know, one
you can
of
make
my...
soap with it, candles. I mean, there's so many different things you can do with tallow. And the dressing on this is honey poppy seed using B-squared apiaries honey. Beth. Amazing person. She's also, I think, the executive director of the Pollinator Council, and also was part of the group that put on the pollinator plates.
Which reminds me, I have a public service announcement for everyone. It's spring in Boulder County. It's been, it's beautiful because it's rained. There's a lot of flowers out, and we're hoping that bees are going to survive and thrive. They also, at this time of year, they swarm. Usually it's the young male bees, I guess. They get pissed off and need to leave home and go someplace, and they take everybody with them. Anyway, they swarm, and you'll see these huge bundles of bees on a tree or a bush or a sign or something. And stay away from them and call a beekeeper. They will come, they'll get the bees, they'll bring them someplace where they can be happy and make honey. Shannon.
Yes, I just wanted to interject that a beekeeper would say what a swarm, the origin of a swarm is. It is not that the males of the hive are upset.
I know, I was making that up.
It is that a new queen is ready to form a new colony. So, yes.
I knew it was matriarch.
Okay, yeah. I'm just saying, so swarms, yes, they will bundle around, fences or branches or whatnot. It can be kind of scary, but yeah, you can call up a beekeeper. You know, definitely don't try to spray them down or whatever. Just call somebody who can retrieve them, and they can give them a home and a new hive. But yes, swarms are for when they are ready to create a new colony. And they kind of gather their friends, and the new queen's like, all right, come on. Not guys, come on, gals, because most bees are indeed female. And yeah, so anyway, I could not let that go.
I was hoping you would catch it.
Yes.
That's great.
Yes, and Liz, you brought some cheese, and I'm very excited about this. This is a new Colorado. I've been talking about Colorado cheese for
decades. Oh, it's
but
so good.
There's some real
so many
great new
cheese
ones.
Makers.
Tell us about this place. This is Colorado Farmhouse.
Colorado
Creamer?
Farmhouse Cheese Company.
And where is it?
Down in Loveland. Yeah, and he's doing various. Various styles, really. A lot of traditional aged style of cheeses.
I mean,
sheep and cow.
Cheese. There hasn't been any sheep cheese in Colorado since Fruition Creamery made
sheep milk. That's right.
Yeah, and it was award winning, wonderful stuff.
This is really good.
Ricotta, their feta was amazing.
And yeah. which cheese are we tasting?
The Alpine. It's his most popular cheddar. Mm-hmm. Isn't that great?
Oh, that's so good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's been selling out every market. He sold out on the snow market.
Really?
Yeah, he did.
Braved the snow to get this cheese.
Yeah, people did. We have a couple new cheese vendors this season. We also have Moonhill Dairy. They're actually out of Steamboat.
Moonhill's great. Mm-hmm. I just tried their feta, and they have a spread. Like
he's doing more soft.
Chive and herbs, yeah.
Yep, mm-hmm. Yep.
Like
fantastic.
Shab and that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Exactly. And more, yeah, like Daniel's saying, a little bit more kind of like the spread.
Spreadable.
Dip.
It's delicious, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So exactly. I'm hoping that he's put some wheels away for aging, because you can tell that it has, you can taste that it has potential.
Oh, yeah.
As far as building in flavor and getting more intense.
Yeah. And we could probably name 12 or 100 things you could put that cheese on. But mainly, I think you just eat it.
Just eat it.
But, I agree, yeah.
By the way, folks, you're just listening in on this wonderful breakfast table discussion here down at KGNU. This is Kitchen Table Talk. I'm John Lendorf, and my co-host, Dan Asher. And we welcome your calls down here.
Yeah, call in with questions, comments.
Like how to cook asparagus, although that's pretty easy. But give us a call at 303-442-4242 if you have a question about local food.
Yeah, and we're enjoying the magic of radio. Unfortunately, there's no virtual QR code in front of you that you can scan to taste the deliciousness that we're having right now. Maybe at some point in the not-so-distant future that will be a thing, which would be really creepy.
Right.
But for now, you actually have to go to the Boulder Farmers Market on Wednesday nights or Saturday mornings to connect with these amazing producers doing tremendous work of love and connection to soil to taste these incredible ingredients. So well, we actually, encourage you to do that.
If you want to eat the salad.
Or come on into River and Woods. Yeah, check out our market salad.
This is River and Woods.
We're about to have some deviled eggs that Chef Jeremy just put on the menu.
And tell us about the eggs.
Yeah, I've been, you know, deviled eggs was one of the first food memories I have of cooking with my mom. I was probably six years old, one of my earliest childhood memories of my connection to food and my, you know, my story of why I love feeding people. I've tried to sneak deviled eggs on every menu I've ever been a part of. So they just show up randomly as a palette, a canvas to create. Chef Jeremy rocked out this beautiful new version of deviled eggs we're calling a Hippie Valley Ranch, which is a play on Hidden Valley Ranch, but using some amazing, beautiful organic herbs and deliciousness. You can check those out. I'll pass these out. Just went on our
Where did the eggs come from?
I wanted to mention, we met at, Liz and I met at the Soil event at Yellow Barn Farm. Soil, amazing local group, does zero interest loans for incredible farms and agriculture startups that are deeply impactful to land and community. So we were at the Soil gathering at Yellow Barn Farm. Also, shout out to Yellow Barn. They have their stock market, which is this incredible little micro grocer that's open Wednesday through Sunday, 10 to 5. I hope I'm getting that right.
So is it a farm stand?
It is. There's amazing local farms and ranches. They have proteins. They have vegetables. Right, they have condiments.
But it's a roadside farm.
In essence, yeah. But it's not like an outdoor. It's inside a shipping container. So you pull in and you park and you open up this magical doorway. And inside is this incredible expression of local, thoughtful, regenerative food.
And you know, I've made a career out of going through magical doorways.
Yeah, yes, you have. I didn't see you got to swing over to that one.
Come back through several of them. But, you know, that's a different topic.
It's a different show. Yeah, but exactly.
Of course, I'm speaking in culinary.
That would be the Doors of Perception table talk.
Yes.
Yes, exactly.
Yes.
So they're doing amazing work. So Liz and I met there at the at the Soil shindig
the
on Yellow Barn. Eggs. So one of the producers on at Yellow Barn Farm doing incredible work is the olive egg. And Bella is amazing. She just brought our actually second delivery of eggs to River and Woods, I think, yesterday. So we're trying to incorporate her, what she does on the menu.
And where is she?
She's at Yellow Barn Farm. Her eggs are available in the stock market.
Where does she raise the...
Oh, on the property at Yellow Barn.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay, so these are real, like, boulder eggs.
Delightful, thoughtful, amazing eggs. Yeah. And, she does an incredible job. So I highly encourage you, everyone, to check out the stock market and support what they are doing and all the connections that exist there. That's when I found out about... that's where I got greens from Speedwell, which I had never tried their stuff before.
Yeah. Treehouse
Collective, right. Yeah. We should talk about, if you want to speak about that a little bit, that would be phenomenal.
Shannon?
I have an egg question that perhaps, the panel of guests could respond to, or Dan Asher, maybe.
How to hard boil an egg?
No.
That's
very controversial. I don't think we should dive into that.
Don't touch it. Don't touch it.
The world is in such a precarious place, we should not dive into hard boiled egg theory.
You start with cold water or hot water?
You know what? It depends on the day, John. It depends on the day.
Eggs at room temperature?
I think eggs at room temperature is optimal, for sure.
Yeah. Okay, anyway, that wasn't the question, though.
No, it wasn't. But so one of my favorite types of eggs to eat before I moved here, I lived in Mexico before here, and it was very common, well, not super common, but very common in Oaxaca to be able to procure these eggs, turkey eggs. Is there anywhere in Boulder where you can get turkey eggs?
Gosh.
I've
never heard of a turkey egg.
I've never had that. I've had ostrich.
They're amazing. Turkey eggs are amazing. And they're supposedly like very high in like
turkey
nutritional.
Eggs.
Oh, man.
Why is that not a thing?
The shell doesn't really crack like a chicken egg. Like it's kind of a tough shell. But man, once you get it open,
wow.
Yeah.
That's
so
cool.
If you know a source of
turkey eggs,
turkey
call
eggs
in.
Please
call
us.
303-442-4242.
Bella at Olive Egg does have limited supply of duck eggs as well.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and the phone is ringing, so maybe
which
somebody knows the answer to my question.
And
radio
not to
is
make
magical.
A interesting segue, speaking of Doors of Perception, talking about eggs. would you, Rainbow, talk to us a little bit about Lark Love, your other founder of Lark Love, another amazing business we should give a shout out to. Locally grown.
Yeah, it's your local organic personal lubricant business. I partner with my friend and amazing clinical herbalist, Corey. We, you know, came from a place of kind of joking around about why there wasn't a fancy botanical organic lubricant. And the more we joked about it, the more we realized maybe there actually should be one.
Yes.
So we,
and you made it happen.
In Jamestown, yeah, as we do, we have access to lots of friendly ladies and had focus groups and talked to different women about, you know, where they were at, what their needs were, and came up with this formulation, all flowers and herbs and mushrooms, and it's been really fun. It's been great.
It's magnificent. How would people get a hold of this?
We generally sell online at larklove.com. We also have it at Lucky's. We have it at Moxie Bakeries.
Okay. Fantastic.
Yeah. Rebecca's Apothecary.
Well, there you go. All these amazing local businesses to connect with beautiful things.
And we do have a caller. Bill, good morning. You are on the air.
Hey, friends. This is Phil Taylor at Ag.
Phil.
I know.
I'm wearing one of your limited release indigo denim hats right now that I got at the booth at the Naturally Boulder Spring Fling last night. So thanks for rocking those out.
For sure. I was going to call about eggs, but you know, I could give a Lark Love testimonial for Rainbow.
Fantastic.
This is a family show.
Every home in Jamestown.
Yes, I'm an advocate as well for Lark Love, definitely.
But I want to hear about the eggs.
Yeah, I would actually love to hear everyone's sort of favorite spring meal. You know, like all the fresh herbs are starting to come up and things are popping in the garden. Like, what's the spring vibe? What's your go-to kind of spring meal as all this green comes out of the earth?
Dan?
That's good. You know, I love asparagus. I feel like that to me symbolically represents the start of a phenomenal growing season, with a lot of intention, and excitement. My beautiful wife, Steph, has, asparagus, currently incubating in our kitchen, becoming little resilient seedlings so that we can put them in the ground. So asparagus to me represents, just a lot of awesomeness. My mom grew asparagus. I mean, there's a lot of connections there. So to me, you know, I love, actually shout out to Pastificio, who we had on the show, and we just got our first case of that pasta, which we're switching to for the mac and cheese.
And they just won a good food award.
Yeah, we got their Campanelle pasta. So, you know, I think getting a hold of any of their varieties of pasta, which is locally milled, locally grown organic heritage grain, and cooking some of that off and letting it come to room temp and then grilling off some beautiful local asparagus from Kiowa Valley Organics, available at the Boulder Farmers Market. And Phil, like you said, a handful of fresh herbs. I think dill, underutilized and underappreciated, it brings a very beautiful, vibrant pop of flavor. I also feel the same way about tarragon.
Little hit of lemon?
Exactly. A little bit of citrus, some grated, you know, sharp, salty cheese. Also, which you can get, you know, at the farmers market, or if you just want to rock out some parm. That you can't really go wrong. Some really well flavored olive oil, and super simple. So it's basically grilled asparagus, pasta, some cheese, citrus, and that's it. And that to me is a very vibrant way to incorporate spring vegetables, you know, local grains and deliciousness.
Liz, so what are you seeing at the market for? Not the stuff that's left overwintered, which is wonderful.
Which
too.
Is also what? Well, yeah, like spinach.
But. What are you seeing that's fresh that you could put in a primavera or some kind of salad? Or
yeah, I mean, this time of year, it's all about the greens, right? So I personally can't get enough of them. It's always fun when you're craving what's in season. Your body knows what it's supposed to be eating right now.
Yeah.
What kinds of greens are you seeing from the farmers at the market?
Oh my gosh, everything. Like Daniel mentioned, the overwintered spinach is amazing, and that is kind of working its way out. But we've got mustard greens coming in, arugula. We've got tot soy, pak choy is starting to come in. These little kind of
little babies.
The little babies. Yep. We saw our first radishes. new last weekend, too.
The new radishes versus the...
Correct, yes.
The storage ones, which
spring.
Are also very good.
Yeah, some Hokkaid turnips are starting to show up a little
bit.
Oh,
so
too.
Good. Yeah,
yeah,
those
I mean, those
amazing.
Are like, you got to get there at 8 a.m. because they're still making their way up.
Yeah, if you haven't had Hokkaid turnips or Tokyo turnips, they're a really
sweet.
Good gateway drug to turnips, I would say.
Yes.
And they're tender, they're sweet, they're delightful. You could literally just eat them in hand.
That's my jam.
You could quick pickle them. You could shave them. Yeah, on top of any sort of a dish as a finishing move. Yeah, huge fan of those.
Yeah. Yep.
Spring?
You know, in our house, my daughter's favorite food is caprese salad.
Oh, so
good.
So
when spring comes around, we get ready to eat it all summer, but we swap out whatever's coming up that week so we can cover it in like pea shoots, cucumbers, baby zucchini, definitely like using the spinach right now, and just kind of pile up the mozzarella and tomatoes and then add whatever there is on top.
And it's a little early for the tomatoes, but there actually are tomatoes. Greenhouse tomatoes.
Yeah, right. Yeah,
decent tomatoes.
They're delicious.
And and really, that's been a huge difference in Boulder County growing in the past 10 years. You know, back a decade or so, it was there weren't that many greenhouses, and so the season always started late, and there was always the potential for freezing and other bad things that would, you know, delay the season and everything, but there's a lot of them now, and they're growing some great stuff.
Yeah, we've got Rocky Mountain Fresh at the Boulder Market and Honey Acre Farms at the Longmont Market, who's also doing the indoor growing, has tomatoes most of the season.
That's great.
The other thing I'd say is now is a wonderful time to grow some greens yourself. And there's a number of different ways you can do that. You can buy starter plants. But with a lot of these greens, they grow so fast that you can just grow it yourself. New at the market is our friends at Masa, who are producing locally grown heirloom and other...
Bioregionally adapted.
Yeah.
Rich. And yeah, I mean, they do an amazing job.
Mm-hmm. And you can keep trimming them, and then they keep growing.
Yeah.
And stuff.
Completely. Yeah. Amazing stuff.
I do have to pop in here and say that we're at the top of the hour. So you are listening to KGNU FM 88.5 Boulder, KGNU 1390 Denver.
All right.
Awesome. Since we are, this is, I would say, the food episode. Which is great, which we'll do. I think we should just make a thing, John, and just call one of the shows the food episode, which is what we're currently in the middle of. So I want to do a shout-out to a couple events coming up food-related. And thanks for jumping in, Phil, because you're on my list to mention. Mad Ag and the Rodale Institute are doing a cross-pollination experience. And Rainbow, I believe you are providing the delectable vittles for this?
I am.
Yes.
I've talked to both... and Cure at Cure Farm, and the folks over at Starling Farm, we're going to see what kind of greens or microgreens or whatever little things they've got and make food out of that for it. So it'll be fun.
That's great. And is it the 17th?
I believe so, 17th.
Yeah, the 5/17 is a powerful night. There's two events, so check out Mad Ag and their event and support what they're doing. Transformational, powerful work is probably the best way I can phrase what they're doing in multiple arenas and avenues to keep farmers doing what they do best in ranches and people in the working in the soil every day. And then the other event, shout out to Paul, legendary local operator, Mountain Sun, Southern Sun, Vine Street. His new spot is in Longmont called Urban Fields. Have you guys checked this out? Everyone was talking about
The pizza place.
And then Jody from the pizza place. From Slow Food got me over there after multiple text messages saying, you got to check this place out. And I walk in. It was unbelievable. I brought my daughter Tulsi. We had an amazing meal. And Chef Nick Swanson, rock star culinarian, just took a 7th place at the World Pizza Championship in Las Vegas. And that award-winning pizza called Lucky Number 7 is being featured 5/17, May 17th, also at Boulder Theater. They're doing a 4-course tasting menu.
Which you don't... excuse me.
30 tickets left. He just texted me, by the way. So I want everyone to know.
You don't have to go to Longmont actually to taste the pizza because Urban Field is operating the lounge.
At the Boulder Theater.
At the Boulder Theater.
Exactly.
So it's open before shows and otherwise if you want to taste the pizza.
Yeah, so check it out, urbanfieldpizza.com. Get your tickets to their shindig on the 17th. But the pizza blew my mind. It's absolutely incredible. And they're using local grain sourced from dry storage, locally milled. Their crust is mind-blowing.
Nice.
Yeah, so highly recommend everyone check it out and support their pop-up at the Boulder Theater and their spot in Longmont.
But that probably involves gluten.
You know what? It does, John, and that's okay sometimes.
And that's okay sometimes, but if it's not okay with you, Saturday at Holidaily Brewery.
Oh, that's right. The festival.
Is the annual gluten-free food festival.
Yes.
And when it started a few years ago, it was kind of like, ha-ha. You know, I think there were two or three vendors or something, and now it's huge. And there's so many.
It's in Golden, right?
Right, and there's so many gluten-free producers now really making, you know, things that you would not, you know, it's not a question anymore. And I noticed at the market there was new gluten-free vendors, bakers.
Oh, Havenly
is awesome.
That's our buns we use. Gluten-free buns at River and Woods for the
they're really
Pasture
like,
Burger.
I'm hooked.
They're unbelievable.
Myself. Yeah.
Yeah, huge shout out to them.
Really,
doing
really
amazing
good.
Work in the gluten-free space.
Mm-hmm.
And
Saturday market.
Yeah. I just remembered there's more gluten-free news. You know, is it Jake and Kate?
Kim and Jake's?
Kim and Jake's.
Amazing stuff.
Yes.
Yes.
But they have, you know, they have their bakery in Table Mesa. And they.
Yeah, that's right.
Yep. And they have passed it on to two of their employees. I think, and they are they're focusing on the on their packaged food line of gluten-free and dairy-free treats that are going into stores. And but the bakery is going to continue making the wonderful cakes that they were so famous for.
I'm just jumping in here to say, while we don't have a caller on the line, and if you would like to be on the line, the number is 303-442-4242. You can also send us an email at dj@kgnu.org, and we do have a question over email. So Paul is asking, any recommendations on local nutritional honey products and vendors?
Oh, so many. Mm-hmm. Liz, you wanna start rocking that one? I mean, Highland, there's B Square, Bjorn's.
Mm-hmm.
The honey scene is strong here in Boulder County.
And
it's powerful.
I don't know if the question was, you know, are there beyond honey itself, well made locally, are they talking about enhanced honeys? In which case, Highland has, you know, many
turmeric honey and
all that stuff. Mm. But Bjorn's does all kinds of things.
We have a new vendor at market this year too, who's a Boulder Valley honey.
Uh-huh.
He's very focused on maintaining where the honey's coming from. You know, understanding that this is from my hives. These are from the location-specific honeys.
Mm-hmm.
He's also done a lot of work with the Flatiron Farmers Coalition and CU as their resident beekeeper. So he is kind of a wealth of knowledge of bees in general. So definitely come by Saturdays and talk to Chris. If you want to have any kind of honey nerd out, any kind of bee nerd out, it's fun.
That's great.
You know what I've always wanted to do? Maybe I'll do it this summer, but I'd love to do a local honey tasting.
Mm, yeah.
You know, and actually sit there and taste them one after another. And
it's amazing the differences that you really can.
It's unbelievable. Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like wine.
Well,
yeah,
right.
Incredible.
And you can
exactly.
Yes.
Yeah.
And as opposed to Marowak oysters,
right.
Things from the ocean. Yes.
And then when you know which field it came from and what was growing in that field,
mm-hmm. Clover, and wildflowers. Yeah.
And exactly. More importantly, how what was grown in that field was grown.
Right.
Yeah. But,
you know, because the bees don't discriminate between organic and non-organic, and they just want the pollen. You
mm-hmm.
know.
Mm-hmm.
The women bees, of course, yeah.
The best bees.
yes, if you have any other questions, please give us a call. We got about 20 or so minutes coming up here.
And, oh, yeah, look at that.
Yeah.
That's quick. Yeah, call in if any questions, comments, insights, recipes.
I want to continue tasting here since this is the food show.
Oh, yeah, that's right, that's right.
What do we got food next? Show.
Yeah, I also brought one of our new vendors. Their name is Illegal Oats. And she's actually...
Legal or illegal?
Illegal.
Illegal Oats.
Illegal, not legal oats.
Sounds controversial.
Very.
Excellent.
There, it is granola that she's infusing with beetle powder, cricket powder, so the insect protein.
Oh, that's great.
The future.
Oh, yes.
Well, let me taste some bugs.
That is great. Crickets, I believe, yeah, I used to cook with them quite a bit. Actually, that's a great reminder.
Oh, nice.
I believe per gram, highest density of protein on planet Earth is crickets.
Mm-hmm. And I'm tasting
super sustainable.
I'm tasting it now. It doesn't taste anything like chicken.
That's great. You
maybe
were so
oats,
funny.
Maybe cranberry and granola. Yeah, she's actually a student. It was an entrepreneurship project at DU. And she's made into a proper business. And she's one of our new vendors, full-time on Wednesdays and the guest on Saturday. And
that's
catch
great.
Some variety of flavors. Really cool, cool product.
That is awesome.
Mm-hmm.
What a great idea.
Right?
And it is really cool.
And very tasty.
Mm-hmm. Very tasty.
Yeah.
That tastes good.
We got someone
Yeah,
someone
another comment coming in through the email. Please review the details of the gluten-free event in Golden this Saturday. Thanks for acknowledging gluten-free food lovers. That's from Roxy. So
that's the Holly Daily Brewing event?
Yeah. Yeah. And in fact...
So please repeat those details.
It's That's it. It's Saturday afternoon at Holly Daily Brewery in Arvada. And
Arvada or Golden?
Golden,
excuse me.
There you go.
Yeah. And it includes things like gluten-free fish and chips and baked goods and... a whole array of things. So
that's great.
That's worth checking out.
Speaking of spring mix and greens, can you talk a little bit about these folks that I'm just hearing about now, and they're part of the Treehouse Collective? Is that right?
Nope. They've got their own.
This is Speedwell.
Offbeat Farm. They're one of our brand new farmers this season. It's their. They've have collective farming experience elsewhere, but this is their first season as the iteration. Of Offbeat Farms, and I brought their sassy mix, mustard greens, arugula, little spice in there. Mm-hmm.
Mm.
Yeah, some of that little tot soy.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, right?
This is great.
Thanks.
The food show, everyone. Tune in.
The food show.
And get out there and support local amazing restaurants like the Merck doing incredible stuff.
Yum.
And Boulder County Farmers Market. And you've been working with Ann Cure.
I
Is
have,
that right? Another shout out to an amazing farm stand.
Yeah.
And I stopped by there on Saturday. It was an interesting convergence. I actually stopped by because I'm doing yet another story about farm stands.
Oh, great.
Coming up for the summer scene section in the Boulder Weekly. And I've known Ann forever. Jim Smaler. The chef from the Boulder Cork.
Yes, that's right.
Is there?
I saw him over there too. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
he's great.
And he grabs me and he hands me some green leaves and says, and I mentioned this earlier, but miner's lettuce.
Oh, I love miner's lettuce.
Which is I was prepared for it to be weirder, I guess. And it's just a nice fresh green and apparently very easy to grow and. Has a great reputation nutritionally.
Mm-hmm. It's got almost like a little citrus.
That's right. Yeah.
Right. So,
A little surprise.
So, if I encourage anything, it's to broaden your horizons a little bit here, you know? Get beyond romaine and, you know, bagged spinach and.
Expand your lettuce horizons.
And, you know, when I talk about going to farm stands, especially, and also to the farmer's market, is, you know, barge right in there, be brave, and taste things, you know? They want you to taste things. And so it means when you go to the Black Cat booth, you know, taste the different greens.
Off of J Road?
No, at the...
At the market,
Or
another great farm stand,
Taste them. And you might go, oh, I didn't realize... You know, people taste things at restaurants all the time, and they wouldn't... You know, they think they wouldn't buy it at, you know, I'm sure you have that at the Merck all the time, that, you know, they try things and they go, oh, oh, that's really good. I didn't expect to like that.
Yeah, we don't offer a lot of choices, so people, it's a take it or leave it situation. We yeah. say we like to offer. So yeah, it does happen. People get to try new stuff all the time.
Yeah, exactly.
Like
what are we doing tonight? Pear and blue cheese salad and fried pickles. I don't know. Everyone's probably tried those before, so tonight might not be the best example. But
blue cheese
it up.
Blue cheese is very polarizing.
It's true. It's
yeah,
true.
There's a whole
in my own family.
put it in a deviled egg.
Pro blue cheese movement. Yeah. Yes, exactly. Yeah. Right. No, I'm a huge fan of blue cheese personally, and I think it's great.
Well. Ditto.
My dad was he grew up in Vienna, and came over. Well, let's just say 1938 was a good time to leave Vienna.
Sure. Yes.
And so he had very European taste, and he loved Roquefort and blue cheese.
Oh,
and,
so good.
And Limburger.
Oh.
And talk about...
That's potent.
Talk about alienating things, you know? And it was, that was strictly Dad's thing. And
yeah.
I think he ate it because he knew that, unlike American cheese, we would not even go near it. And it needed to be tightly sealed. Was there...
Yeah.
Dan, was there something in your experience where a food was like really... It was take it or leave it.
I would say, Yeah, I think, my dad, also Eastern European and Romanian, and he had a lot of really fascinating old world dishes that my mom would rock out. And one of them, that's funny you bring this up, was called pacha. And it was actually an oxtail. You would create like almost the aspic from boiling oxtail meat. And you would pour it, my mom would pour it into a little Pyrex. So it had little bits of oxtail meat, and it was this gel. And then she would slice hard-boiled eggs and float it on top, and it would kind of set in it. And you would cut it into squares and sprinkle salt on it. And it was, I thought it was phenomenal. And I was really excited about it. And then I remember the day I had some friends over from school.
and
they did not share my excitement or my connection to that dish.
You mean for me?
And that was one of the first times I felt embarrassed by my background, food culture, my parents' history, and it was something that I just realized, like, wait, my dad's an immigrant, and this is stuff that really is not connecting with my friends and their, American lifestyle. Mm-hmm. And, my mom also, made everything from scratch and baked mm-hmm. bread. We didn't have Ruffles. My mom would actually shave potatoes on a mandolin and make mm-hmm. potato chips.
But meat jello.
Meat jello. Yeah, pacha. I mean, that was a really powerful experience that is definitely, I think, for most people, a take it or leave it moment. Mm-hmm. I decided to take it, and I love it. Haven't made it. I kind of should make it for the family, so that's mm-hmm. a good reminder. What about mm-hmm. you? Yeah. Either of you polarizing?
That reminds me of a pickled herring. My brothers all just thought that was like
herring.
The biggest treat. And then it's the same thing when I had friends over and they just looked at me aghast, like, you're eating what? That's fish in a jar.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, it's delicious.
Pickled herring. So, yeah.
Oh. I can echo that one as well.
Actually. Oh, really?
pickled herring. Yeah. My mom loves it. That's her special New Year's treat almost.
But did you like it?
I mean, yes. Yes, I grew to like it. As a child, no. But now I'm like, I do understand. It's like a glass of bubbles on New Year's. But I get it, Mom.
But the key word is growing up with it.
Mm.
I do these cool event things with the Inventing Room in Denver.
Oh, Ian.
Yeah, we do 7-course dessert tastings and things. Mm-hmm. And we always talk about the unusual flavors that could be in things that we no longer put in them. Mm-hmm. Like at one point, Ian was going to make durian lollipops.
Oh, durian is great.
Until you smell it.
Yeah, I mean, people say it's like a vanilla infused garbage. I think, and like people
it's a cross between full moldy cheese and old gym socks. It's really a nuance,
right?
So,
acquired.
But my,
I love it,
and you cannot take durian on the metro in Singapore, or you'll be arrested.
Correct.
And the point being that the people who grow up with durian in Southeast Asia. For them, it's just an intimate part of where they came from. You think you were embarrassed about Jell-O. Imagine visiting your friend when they have the durian out.
Right.
We have a caller.
We do have a caller. I believe the name is Craig. You are on the air.
This is Mr. Craig now. And I want to appreciate and love and communicate with all of Boulder, Colorado. I'm here. And I want to be a DJ someday. One day I'll be a DJ.
So, do you have a question? Do you have a question about food?
Oh, do I have a request?
Question about food. Thanks for coming. Thanks.
Do I have a question about food?
Yeah, that's what the show's about.
It's all about food.
Indeed. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah.
Move
food,
on.
Food, community, love, lube. All of those wonderful things.
All the best things.
Yeah.
All the best things that keep us functioning as sensual, beautiful beings.
The ultimate connectors.
Yes. The ultimate connectors, yeah, mm-hmm. and, exactly. Yeah.
And
a good meal should lead to good loving.
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely.
It's all intertwined.
It is.
With some good music.
With good music,
yeah.
Yes.
Are we back to the lubricant already?
Yes. It's easy to use that as the nucleus, John.
let me tie it into something that's actually germane to what was just said.
Great.
By the caller. We have, if you are looking to become a, get on the air at KGNU as a DJ or as a show host or reporter or what have you, we do offer volunteer orientations, which are the first step to getting on the air at KGNU. And it's tonight. We hold these every 2 months, so the timing is pretty good. Tonight at 7 p.m., you can find information about that at kgnu.org. And I would like to add that somebody answered my turkey egg question.
Oh, that's great.
Via email.
Fantastic.
Yeah. See, this is the magic of radio. You get your answers, right? Just throw them out there.
Exactly.
Seems only local sources sell fertilized turkey eggs. So you got to go through Etsy to get the actual, like, you know, regular eggs. I will
through
say
Etsy?
Also... I know. I don't know about that. I don't know about that.
I'm going to have to do some due diligence on that one.
Yeah. I don't know about getting something through Etsy for that's food. So I would say that actually, if anybody's interested in turkey eggs, and you know, I would buy them. But
we've got wild turkeys up in Jamestown.
Seed.
Well,
yeah.
You should follow some of them around.
Yeah.
See what happens.
They are very hostile.
They're intense and loud.
Yes, turkey eggs are more expensive, and they're not as, you know, they're not as regular as chicken eggs, because also you got to be pretty careful about getting those eggs away from the mom, because
what's the size of them?
Oh, they're about that. Yeah, they're about
so like, bigger like, than a duck egg.
I don't know about duck eggs because I don't use duck eggs, but they're definitely bigger. They're about twice the size of a chicken egg.
Okay.
So and they tend to be like mottled shells, and it's like a harder shell. Like you got to kind of pull that thing apart.
Wow.
But it's
that's awesome.
Delicious.
That is great. Speaking of fried pickles, Rainbow, so thanks for bringing that up. I wanted to bring out a trick that I was having a conversation with someone the other day. Save your pickle brine. Whether you buy awesome local pickles or commercial pickles or whatever your pickle situation is, of course, you want to get yourself out of a pickle if you're in a pickle.
Right. Good one.
However, ba-dum-bum-tsh.
But don't throw away the
liquid. We had this whole conversation about all these liquids that are amazing that just get tossed literally down the drain. We're talking about things like akure turnips and beautiful spring vegetables, asparagus, even eggs can be hard-boiled and pickled. Save your brine. And just keep it in a jar in the fridge, and you can literally go to the farmer's market and buy a bunch of beautiful vegetables, spring vegetables, and you can literally just pop them in that jar and throw it back in the fridge, and magically in about 3 or 4 days you will have quick pickled deliciousness.
I love that.
Lasts a very long time. You're reusing something that would technically become waste down the drain to create another culinary moment with something unrelated. And that helps you also preserve, which is a wonderful way to support local farms, is to take beautiful products and preserve them for a future moment in time.
Without wasting.
Exactly.
And there's actually a bunch of other liquids like that I, you know.
There's whey?
I think of things like, I have a little bottle of capers.
Oh yeah, exactly.
And sometimes I'll add a little bit of the juice to a salad or
a dressing or a sauce. Yeah, Oil that you get, like, you know, anything that's packed in oil.
Like sun-dried tomatoes.
Sun-dried tomatoes. You save that oil and use it to make a vinaigrette.
Hey, we got a caller.
We do have another caller, but I do not have the name here. So, caller, if you're the one who's on the line, I'm talking to you. Good morning.
Yeah, Lynn, I just didn't hear what you put in your deviled eggs. I mean, the herbs is not saying anything. Do you put in shallots? Do you put in, you know, like...
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. No, you know what? Like, yeah, dill... dill, tarragon, marjoram, chive,
mayo,
sea salt. Yeah, we actually use veganaise or veginaise, depending on your potato style, out of Southern California. Veganaise is one, like, the OG vegan mayo. Huge shout out to them. They've been doing it since the 70s, and I think they do it exceptionally well. So if it weren't for the eggs in our deviled eggs, they would be vegan, just so everyone knows.
But they're not.
But thanks for mentioning shallots. Shallots are fantastic. And another great ingredient that I think some people are unsure about. Mm-hmm. Usually you just grab an onion because it's more familiar. But shallots, a little bit more, I don't want to use the word refined, really. But it's just they just have a different essence.
They don't have the edge of garlic.
Yeah.
You know?
They're not as sharp.
And it's used a lot in French vinaigrettes, isn't it?
Shallots are fantastic.
I find that parsnip is a very underrepresented vegetable.
I completely
agree.
Parsnips
are fabulous.
Yes.
And nobody ever uses them.
Because the reason they don't use them is because they let them get big and old and gnarly, much like many people.
But you know how you solve that is you make mashed parsnips.
No,
you
harvest them early.
Well, yeah, that too. But if things don't go the way, you know, everyone intended, I think it's important to have, you know, culinary awareness and techniques to just be able to utilize anything at any time to make it delicious and nourishing.
And you can also cut those ruffled chips out of them.
Parsnip,
and fry them.
You can shave them and eat them raw. But yeah, parsnip, literally cut them in rustic chunks and throw them in either water or any kind of... if you want to get, you know, some milk or some cream. Obviously, we're talking about it being more expensive. But if you want to keep it... extremely affordable to feed your family, just parsnips in water, little bit of oil and salt till they're tender, and then mash them and throw in whatever you want. You've got mashed parsnip puree that's amazing. So yeah, parsnips are great.
Okay, I have a question that's from another caller, but who did not want to go on the air, but I have this note from Benita, who is answering the phones. A woman called to ask how parents can make candies for children without artificial dyes and instead with natural ingredients.
Huh.
I know somebody who could answer that. It's a little hard to make hard candy
without corn syrup,
without some kind of serious sugar involved. But there's a lot of other.
Natural sweeteners. You can sweeten with maple. You can sweeten with honey. You can color with beet juice.
Super anecdotal, but my husband has a coworker who makes candies, and like he'll bring them home every once in a while, and they're made out of like apple cider vinegar. Mm. They're like little caramels with apple cider vinegar.
Really?
They are really
that
really
sounds great.
Good. Mm-hmm. They're really good.
Wow.
Well, so, you know, not this isn't the right time of year, but if you have some apple cider and you just simmer it until it becomes this. You know, down and
reduced
down and
liquid.
Yeah, and you can end up with
syrup.
You essentially end up with apple jello.
Oh, that's great! Cider syrup.
Yeah,
cider
and
jello.
She takes these candies and she wraps them up in parchment paper too, so it's nice and you know, not all like you know.
Oh my gosh, that's great!
And just beyond that, over the years I've done a little tasting around, but. I think monk fruit is an improvement on stevia.
Monk fruit is a sweetener. If you're looking for it.
So I've got a couple of items before we leave that I wanted to pass along because they struck me, but apparently they're... you all know about the controversies around chat, you know...
GPT?
GPT and all that stuff. Apparently they're starting to use them to write fortune cookies. And I just want to protest on behalf of all the fortune cookie writers of America that I really think, you know, people should do that. And the other question that came up, and you guys can answer this, you know, during the pandemic, a lot of places had a sign on the table with a QR code, you know, and said, oh, you just take a picture of it and there's your menu. And I hated that a lot. And, you know, I guess I'm not sure if anyone is still doing that, but I always wanted to have the menu.
Paper menu, yeah. We're actually doing that at Ashkara at Boulder location, but we also have paper menus available as well. Sometimes it just streamlines the process. Some people get actually really connected with that and enjoyed that process of kind of self-managing their experience.
Do you think it's, how shall I put this, age-related?
I don't know about that. That's a good question. I'm not sure.
I mean, but yeah.
Could be. I mean, it's a lot of, you know, there's a necessary expression of technology coming into everything. That's just part of evolution. But I think we have to be responsible and thoughtful about it and know its limits and know our limits. Like, I asked ChatGPT the other day to make me a delicious, locally sourced organic meal, and nothing happened. So that was really disappointing. And then I realized I actually had to start cooking. So that was a big shock for me because I was really excited for that to happen. But I realized you have to use your own hands to do things, you know? So that was interesting.
So we're coming up on the end of this month's Kitchen Table.
That's right, the Kitchen Food Edition.
Kitchen Table Talk.
Yes.
And let's finish up with something wonderful and foodie from everybody. Liz?
Oh, gosh, something wonderful and foodie.
Maybe something that you tasted at the food court or anywhere.
I mean, it's just wonderful and foodie. You know, we get to live in an incredible community here where there are so many enthusiastic farmers and food producers. I mean, you mentioned the Naturally Boulder event with last night.
Like, yeah.
We have such an incubator for this.
Exactly.
And
it's remarkable.
What a better way to connect with the place you live than eating food that's grown here in the season that it's grown. And I encourage everyone to do that.
Yeah.
As much as possible.
Support and love your local farmers and ranchers.
Any last food love comments?
You know, I'm really excited to get more of these spicy greens from Offbeat. Is that the name of the farm?
Yeah, delicious.
We like to add a lot of spicy greens to the Eggs Benedict on Sundays at the
market. Oh, they're
really
so good.
Pulls the whole thing together, so that's what I'm looking forward to Sunday.
That's great.
So
I'm gonna have to say, for me, it was having that Lucky Number 7 pie at Urban Fields. Honestly, transformative pizza experience.
Nice.
I grew up in Chicago, so I take pizza very seriously. Mm-hmm. No messing around. I'll look anyone in the eye any day and throw down and talk about pizza. But the pizza they're doing at Urban Fields is phenomenal. So check it out, Boulder Theater and Longmont.
Dan,
what about you?
Me.
Anything recently?
Yeah, when I was at Cure, there was a cottage bakery, Daily Grains, that was there. They made a wonderful seeded sourdough.
That's great.
That I really enjoyed.
Excellent.
And then now it's the end of Kitchen
that's
Table
it.
Talk for this month. Thank you, everyone, for listening and calling in and supporting your local food businesses. And thanks to all our guests.
Thanks, everyone.
Thanks, you guys.
Thanks for having
come
us.
Come on out. Go
so cool to
eat
be
local,
here.
Shop local.
Ella tiene un tren, no lo sabe. Ella tiene un tren, no lo sabe. Lo que...